This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. You've no doubt heard about Body Mass Index, or BMI, to measure whether people are a healthy weight. There's a new metric called Body Roundness Index, or BRI, that researchers say shows promise as possibly a better predictor of mortality in adults. But is the BRI any better than the BMI? Joining me now to discuss the metrics they use and why they use them are University of Cincinnati Adjunct Assistant Professor in the Department of Internal Medicine, Dr. Malti Bij, and gastroenterologist and GI hormone researcher, Dr. Enoch Zanbagili. Thank you both so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lucy.
UC is a financial supporter of Cincinnati Public Radio. So, Dr. Zanbagili, explain how body mass index, or BMI, is calculated and what it tells you about how healthy somebody is or isn't. And you'll have to get kind of weirdly close to your microphone.
So, body mass index is a ratio of weight to height, and it's used to screen for obesity and estimate body fat. It's very simple. You just take the height and you divide it by the, you take the weight and you divide it by the height in meters squared. It's just a single number. And, you know, we can't reduce people down to a single number, but that is what it's trying to estimate.
And it wasn't originally developed as a health metric, right? How has it come to be used to determine whether somebody is a healthy weight or an unhealthy weight?
Right. So the BMI history is quite long. It goes back to the 1800s when a mathematician in Belgium, Adolf Quetelet, he kind of noticed the way that the body size changes in proportion to height and its size. And he developed what the basis of the index is. And then that later in the 1950s and 70s got turned into a value that was used by insurance companies to try and estimate mortality. And then from there in the 1990s, the World Health Organization used it to try and estimate body fat and rates of obesity.
Dr. Bij, what are some of the problems with BMI? Where are some of the weaknesses in that as a tool?
So BMI itself, the body mass index, is a pretty reasonable index to gauge somebody's obesity, but it has some limitations. So some limitations, I will say, one, it does not differentiate between weight due to fat mass and weight due to muscle mass. And second will be it doesn't talk anything about the fat distribution. So in terms of that, if somebody has a low BM, like in people who have low muscle mass, it will underestimate their risk, but they are actually at a higher risk. And then people who are more muscular, it overestimates their risk. So, and also in certain patient population, like certain races, it underestimates their risk of having various metabolic diseases.
And what kind of diseases are we talking about?
So we are talking about very common diseases like diabetes mellitus, hypertension, stroke, heart disease, and also certain cancers.
So you mentioned that because of the lack of specificity about muscle mass versus other kinds of body mass and fat, you know, there can be some ambiguity there. So does that mean somebody with a higher BMI can be healthier than someone with a lower BMI?
Yes, absolutely, especially as I just said, patients who have more muscle mass, the BMI will be higher in that people who are athletes or our football players, for example. They are healthy. If you look at their body fat percentage, it is below 25 or below, and they are in a healthy weight. But if I go by BMI, it will put them in like obesity or morbid obesity categories.
So, Dr. Zanbagili, what is this other metric, this body roundness index, or BRI, and how does it differ from BMI?
Right. So, the body roundness index, it takes a measure of height and also the waist circumference to try and better estimate the amount of fat in the body and particularly the fat that is around the waist and abdomen, which we know correlates more closely with these bad health outcomes. And so you can think of it as estimating the body in terms of being leaner and more cigar-shaped or being more rounder and stout, and that being associated with poor health outcomes.
Okay. Is it any better at predicting whether somebody is healthy or not?
It does do that better than the body mass index in research studies. But again, as I alluded to, we don't want to reduce the patient's or an individual's health down to a single number.
Okay. We are talking about BMI and BRI and whether one measure is any better than the other and how doctors can use them. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or you can email talk at wvxu.org. So how do you use BMI or BRI in your own practice, Dr. Beach?
So currently, I will say we have still using BMI, and we use some other parameters. We have not started using BRI yet because, of course, the concept is there for since 2013, but recently a study into JAMA Network Open highlighted the importance of using BRI. So currently, we are still kind of more dependent on the BMI at this point.
But I assume you use that in connection with other kinds of measures of
Yeah, definitely. There's a scope for BRI, but we do need more validation and more research into using this BRI index in more population cohorts to predict like how are the health outcomes associated. We need more research, basically.
And what about you, Dr. Zambakili? How do you use BMI? How do you use BRI? What do you use in your practice?
Right. So as I alluded to earlier, we know that fat distribution throughout the body and where fat is located has important health implications. And so fat located around the waist and abdomen and around the organs within the body is associated with the worst health outcomes. And so you can use body mass index in conjunction with a waist measurement to better estimate what the risk of bad outcomes might be.
Okay. And one of the things I wanted to ask you both, you know, you can find a BMI calculator online that's pretty easy to plug numbers into. You can find a BRI calculator online. Should we be using those, just random patients out there, to try to draw conclusions about ourselves, or is there some danger in that? What do you think?
I think those calculators are available online, and we can use them. Actually, we started using them recently. So the good thing about the BRI, it all when you plug those numbers in there, you also get to know how much visceral adiposity somebody has. So it gives you, as Dr. Zanvikili pointed out, that carrying weight about around the waistline, which BRI is exactly trying to measure, gives you more data about poor health outcomes than just looking at the weight, like which is done through BMI.
What do you think? Should we be using those calculators, or are we getting ourselves into trouble if we try to use those and draw our own conclusions as patients?
So I think it is good for people to use those calculators and look at their own BMI or BRI. But what we don't, again, want is for patients to reduce their entire health down, again, as I said, to a single number. There are a lot of things that go into our health and our well-being. And so it should just be used as one data point along with other data points like our blood pressure or whether we have, you know, high cholesterol, high triglycerides, pre-diabetes, diabetes. When you start adding all of these different metrics together, then that's a much better estimation overall.
That makes sense. So, Dr. Beach, it's not like you can plug in those numbers, and if your number looks good, you think, I'm fine, I don't have to go to the doctor. You should not do that.
Yeah, of course, it should be done in guidance with a healthcare professional. So it's good to know your numbers. It's good to know my BMI. It's good to know my BRI. But then also it's good to know, like, what is my internals look like? So as Dr. Zanvikili rightly said, it's important to know how my lipids look like. How is my A1C? Do I have fatty liver? Do I have some other diseases which are like metabolic diseases related to obesity? So all this seeing in a comprehensive context is very, very important. You can't just look at one number, because ultimately these are external measurements. It's not checking your internals. So I will definitely emphasize on checking the internals as well.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Again, we are talking about BMI and BRI and how those measurements work and what stock we should put in them. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. So it sounds like in your practices, both of you, you maybe are looking at some of these measurements, but then there are these blood tests that you do too when you're really trying to determine somebody's health and how their weight or body type fits into their health. Dr. Zanvikili, talk about the steps that you go through to help a patient figure that out.
Sure. So I think when we approach this topic in terms of body sizes and shape, one thing that's very important from the very outset to know is that it can be a very sensitive topic for a lot of patients. There's a lot of stigma and bias, not only in our society, but also within the medical field about this. So, the first thing that I want to know is the patient interested in discussing this or not? And how can I make myself approachable? And then if that is the case, then I can ask them about that and then try to assess all of these other health issues that may surround their weight that we've been discussing. And importantly, how is that affecting the patient's life right now? Because things that are happening in our body silently may not be necessarily as important to us as something that we're experiencing, like knee pain or shortness of breath or things like that. So I start at that basis of how is this affecting the patient's life, and then what are the patient's goals? Maybe different than my goals.
Hmm. What about you, Dr. Risha? How do you work with patients on those issues?
Yeah, I agree with Dr. Zanvikili on that. So that's what we do. So whenever I see a patient for weight management in my clinic, so we go by all these BMIs, waist circumference, neck circumference. We look at their blood pressure. We do like a blood work to gauze all those unhealthy lipids or A1C. But along with that, we also want to ask patient why they want to lose weight. Why is this so important for them? And then based on that, we encourage them. Okay, so it's more like having a healthy lifestyle. So that's what we are trying to do. We are not trying to change a number. We are not trying to slim me or anything like that. It's more about overall health, which involves, okay, increased physical activity, eating a healthy, nutritious diet, and feeling good in your body, and also at the same time, lessening your stress. So it's a comprehensive approach. It's not just about looking at that number on the scale or, just overall health. That's what our focus should be.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Zanvikili, you spoke early in our conversation about how BMI was used by insurance companies, and then we all started talking about it, in the 90s. These numbers, though, do seem to be important still with insurance companies in terms of what kind of procedures insurance will cover or what kind of medications insurance will cover. Can that become a challenge for patients who are working to change their weight for reasons for their health, but maybe they don't fit into these boxes that the insurance companies have determined?
Well, definitely yes. The main roadblock and hurdle that I experience with my patients together is that many of the tools that we use medically or surgically to promote weight loss may have these BMI cutoffs. That does become a bit of an issue. typically, I don't have issues with patients running into roadblocks of mine with BMIs that are too high that insurance companies will preclude patients from getting certain types of procedures. But certainly that does occur.
Yeah. Do you ever run into that?
Yes, of course. A lot because those current BMI criteria, they are not perfect. But the problem is all of our medical literature is still kind of gauging this based on the BMI. Our major societies, insurance companies, they look at the BMI number. Then, of course, I think it's going to change with all these newer tools that we have in place, the BRIs, the body composition scales, and the more gold standard like DEXA scans and stuff. It got to change. I think revolution has just started. The things are going to change. But of course, right now, we are not in the perfect place.
We're so rarely in the perfect place on anything, huh? Right. What you mentioned, the body composition index, what's that?
So body composition is basically, so what is obesity? Obesity, in obesity is basically, it's not about weight. It's how much body fat somebody has. So how do we measure that? So all these tools that we are trying to use, the BMI or the BRI, they are more to assess their or estimate their body fat. But how do we exactly measure their body fat? It's difficult. And then that's why we use the body composition scales. They use, like, we call them bioelectrical impedance scales. We do DEXA scans. We use MRIs. We use CT scans. But they are all more, like, in a big setting, more cost involved with that. We can't use it on a, like, day-to-day basis. So those are, they good. DEXA scan is one of the gold standard ones that gives a very good estimate about the body fat, which will be actually ideally, that's what I would like to use, but it's not feasible in every patient.
Hmm. You know, you just mentioned the cost, Dr. Zambakili. How big a deal is that? Because the thing about BMI is it's free. You know, you can plug these numbers into a calculator and figure it out. Is that one of the hurdles to kind of getting these other measures done?
Yes. So BMI is very easy to calculate because most people know their height, or we can very easily measure it in the office, and then there's a scale right there, so you can measure the weight. Although it should be easy, waist measurement is not typically done in most clinical encounters, and even then, being able to measure the waist accurately and reproducibly is not always trained in, you know, our nursing staff, and so it's not something that we do all the time. Those are kind of simple measures. And then these other measures that Dr. Vidge is referring to in terms of doing a whole body DEXA scan to look at the fat or specialized MRIs, typically not done in routine clinical care and much more expensive.
Right. Dr. Vidge, you kind of referenced this before, and so did you, Dr. Zambakili, but there's so much weight shaming that happens in the U.S. How do you work with patients to really determine what's a healthy weight for them so that it's not this focus on particular numbers? I mean, it seems like it has to go beyond numbers. How do you really work with patients to figure that out?
So whenever we see our patients for weight management, so of course we want to go by what goals they have, but we also want to clear some doubts they have in their mind. So we tell our patient, it's not about those externals that I just mentioned earlier. It's not about how much you weigh, how much fat you have. It's about how much good you feel in your skin, and then how your other numbers look like, as I mentioned earlier, the A1C. Are you diabetic, pre-diabetic? Do you have metabolic syndrome? Do you have fatty liver? So when we talk to our patients about that, okay, you have a high number on the scale, but you're very healthy. So they feel, okay, you know, they feel better that way. You know, they are not suffering. So of course, there's a lot of work involved into that. And then also we try to kind of change the office environment around that, like being more patient-friendly, obese people-friendly work environment so that they don't feel fat shaming.
Yeah. Is that important in your practice too, Dr. Zambakili?
Definitely. You know, even if the topic that we're discussing is not necessarily surrounding the weight, it touches all aspects of our health.
Yeah. Well, I've been talking with University of Cincinnati Adjunct Assistant Professor in the Department of Internal Medicine, Dr. Malti Bij, and gastroenterologist and GI hormone researcher, Dr. Enoch Zanbakili. Thank you both so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lucy.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Asiya Johnson. Technical director is Marshall Verbsky. And Rob Fetters composed our theme music. I'm Lucy May. Thank you so much for listening.